This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along. You're listening to the William Hill Golf Podcast. It's Dave Kellner here alongside Mr. Dave Tindall to look ahead to the two events this week, the Qatar Masters on the European Tour and the Humana Challenge on the US PGA Tour. Eventually, we will have all three of us in the studio at one time, Dave, but Mike's away this week, so it's the two Daves looking at the two events this week. And
like the two Ronnies.
The two Ronnies, yeah, but much less funny, unfortunately. We better reflect on last week first, though, Dave, because it was one of those wild and wacky weeks in the world of golf. You had Martin Kaymer's collapse, Jimmy Walker winning by nine, Tiger Woods losing a tooth, Robert Allenby being kidnapped. Everything that could have happened in the world of golf last week did.
Yeah, incredible. I mean, I don't know which is the strangest one. I'll probably still go with as strange as Robert Allenby's was. Martin Kaymer, that's got to be stranger than anything that's ever happened, hasn't it? The most reliable man in golf, just about, when he gets, you know, a whiff of a victory. Done it so many times on that course. Just seemed, you know...
I was speaking to one of my colleagues out in the office in here on Saturday morning, and I was saying, yeah, the problem with Kaymer is once he gets this far out in front, he never gets beaten. And then woke up on Sunday and suddenly Gary Stahl's within a few, and I'm thinking, what has happened to Martin Kaymer here? Led by 10 shots with a dozen holes to play on the Sunday. You would have put your life savings on him to win a bacon butty at that point. You really would. And for him to collapse like that, it was just extraordinary. It really was.
Yeah, I mean, of all the people, I mean, anyone losing a 10-shot lead is pretty bizarre, but you'd have to think it would be some young kid or something, or there was an injury or something. But just for, you know, it's not that he'd forgotten how to win. I mean, he won the US Open of Players last year.
Yep.
It just wasn't in the script on any level, but it was, I don't know, it was kind of, you thought like the high point of strangeness was Charles Schwartzel blowing his home open the week before, but that just took it to a new level.
It did. Jimmy Walker won by nine. His next stop is a major championship, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he was, what, top 10 in all three American majors last year. It's a funny one, that, isn't it? When someone loses the week before, we tend to sort of give them a bit of a time form squiggle against them.
Yeah.
When in fact... I've heard this theory before that it kind of, the best, you know, way to put it out of your mind is to get in contention the very next week, because you can immediately put it right. And not many players get that chance because they're obviously not good enough. Jimmy Walker was good enough to get straight back into contention. And he thought, right, immediate fix. I mean, the other thing was there was so little turnaround because that previous week, Hyundai finished on a Monday night. So it was no time to reflect. I mean, me and you would just be demon-ridden, wouldn't we?
Absolutely.
But they just get on with it. So, you know, I think I wrote the other day, they're like goldfish golfers. They just, you know, why don't they remember the bad stuff? It's incredible skill, really. That I guess it's what separates them, isn't it? I mean, you watch Martin Kaymer, he'll go and win in Dubai.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. Many people might think, oh, it's going to take Kaymer a while to get over that. It won't, will it?
No, it'll be the other way, won't it? Just look at the good form that you should, just, you know, that's the bit you should focus on. Although it's hard to, not sometimes, isn't it? I like to sort of project my sort of feelings onto them, and it's just not the case. Forget it. Just remember that they were brilliant for most of that tournament, and that's the key.
Let's look at this week's two events then. We'll start with the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters. Justin Rose and Sergio Garcia, 7-1 joint favourites here with William Hill. Henrik Stenson is 9-1. Charles Schwartzel is 16-1. Brandon Grace is 20s. Torbjörn Olesen is 25-1. Alexander Levy is 28s. And it's 33-1 and bigger the rest. This tournament, Dave, was established back in 1998, and it's been held at the Doha Golf Club each and every year since its inception. Par 72, measuring 7,400 yards, and in a similar way to Abu Dhabi last week, driving accuracy, not necessarily a factor here, but finding greens in regulation can be crucial. The difference is that the wind often plays a part here in Qatar.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same course designer as last week, Peter Harradine. It's a funny event. I mean, it's a good feel, but normally it's kind of the middle one of those three, isn't it, where some of the top guys take a break, like Rory. But you've got Rose, Garcia and Stenson in, and some decent depth as well. This is a good event. If you look at the front of the market, Rose and Garcia, the defending champion. I think I read a stat, though, that every winner of this had played the week before.
Okay.
In either Middle East event. So obviously that's going to count against Sergio. So that's kind of a first stop off when you look at the leaders. Rose wasn't quite on it again last week. Was he too slow again? I mean, I think we discussed off air.
We did.
Is this a pattern or is it just something we're looking at too closely? But he can't just keep doing that, can he? Because, you know, it was the nearest at the finish, 12th, was it? He pulled off and was never in it, though.
No, it's strange the way he's starting his tournaments at the moment, Justin Rose. The one thing when you're looking back through the list of winners here, the roll call of winners at this event is...
They're all good, aren't they?
They're all good players, yeah. And they've all got a little bit of links form. You look at the winners here, Adam Scott, two-time winner, Henrik Stenson's won here, last year's winner Sergio Garcia, as you've mentioned.
Paul Laurie,
yeah.
Open champ, yeah.
So they've all got open champion. A lot of them have got open championship form as well.
I think I've noted that 8 of the 10 had played on either Ryder Cup or President's Cup of the last 10 winners.
Is that correct?
Yeah, and 5 were major winners. So it's kind of, yeah, this idea that it's slightly the weaker event, it does tend to, attract a quality winner, doesn't it? So, first look, you're probably not, too wrong if you're looking right at the front of the market, although I don't know. None of them particularly leap off the page to me. I mean, we said Rose's early struggles. Garcia's got that historical stat against him. Stenson missed the cut last week, didn't he? Which was a bit of a surprise. But
he seems to do his best work in the autumn, doesn't he?
Yeah,
Stenson.
These days. Yeah, I mean, he used to be very good in these events. If you look back, all his form seems to be kind of mid-2000s, perhaps a little bit later. But the last few events... he's teed it up here. He's not done so well. So, single figure price, a bit dodgy to me, that.
I've just got the one pick in this event, Dave. How many selections have you got?
Just two.
Okay, I'll let you lead off then.
Right, well, I've said the front of the market. Well, near the front of the market is Charles Schwarzlew. Again, we're back to this idea that he's damaged goods. he's not, is he? Because, quietly, without really getting much attention, he finished top 10 last week when... one angle was that he'd just be sort of rubbing his head in a corner going mad. But if I read some quotes that were really quite kind of startling. He said after his round 65, I think it was round 3 or round 2, that he said it was one of the best rounds I've played for 2 years.
Yeah, which was, I remember seeing that quote.
He said if he could have broken 60.
Yeah, if he'd putted well.
Yeah, so it's all... I know sometimes they sort of want to believe they're happy. The fact he's even saying that suggests this isn't a guy who's scratching around for confidence, is it? He's talking in terms of shooting some daft numbers. So the fact that he said something like that, he's clearly on the rise. I mean, yeah, he was second in his home open, not an idiot who came midfield and, he should have won it. Yeah, he played a few bad holes at the end, but... I think 16-1, given the fact that this often goes to a high-quality winner, he would certainly fit that pattern. I mean, he's got Goosen and Els, compatriots who've won that tournament.
Yes.
And he's got decent form there himself. Nothing kind of leap off the page brilliant, but lots of consistently good finishes. So I think 16-1, I think that's an each-way price with a very good chance that he could actually win it if he can... continue the form that he clearly believes he's now in.
Okay, Charles Schwarzl for Dave at 16-1. I'm going to go with Rafa Cabrera Bello as my selection here at 50-1. I mentioned in a previous podcast maybe a slight hesitancy to get involved from a win perspective, given his tendency just to fall a little bit short in these events. But I thought he was definitely worth chancing with an each way perspective in mind here at 50s. Form in the desert, very, very strong. Winner of the Dubai Desert Classic back in 2012. Got good form in Abu Dhabi as well prior to last week's missed cut, which I'm always willing to forgive one missed cut. Had a place in another top 10 in two of his starts there. And here, undoubtedly, conditions suit him. I thought 50s was fair from a... an each-way perspective. He's been placed here two of the last 5 years, so I thought that Rafa Cabrera Bay are worth a go at 50-1 this week.
Yeah, I think he says it. You know, he's from the Canary Islands, and he says it's very similar. He loves the desert conditions. He just feels very comfortable in that kind of heat. So yeah, I think I backed him at that price last year. So
yeah.
But I guess there's lots of contenders, so he didn't get my vote this week. So I've gone. Shall I go?
Go for it.
Slightly not a thrilling price, but I still think he's going to have a big week. Mikko Ilonen, who was runner-up last year, lost to Sergio in a playoff. Now, the added extra for me is he posted on Twitter this week he just got his Masters invite. And I just remember a little win I had on Thomas Bjorn. It was very similar. He got his Masters invite in the play. It's such a sort of big thing for a golfer. It's kind of the ultimate thing, isn't it? Such a unique thing to get in the post.
Yep.
That little... You know, and he was saying how thrilled he was because it's the first time he's been in 14 years or something, and it would have been as an amateur when he last, or way back anyway. So it's, you know, so imagine how excited he is about that. I think that can be a little X factor this week for him. And having played so well there last year, we know he can handle a course. He did okay, made the cut last week, shot a couple of good rounds, but I think this is the week where he kicks on. So, I mean, he won twice, didn't he, last year for that playoff loss. Again, he didn't sort of, you know, mull over that. He went on and won, was it the Irish Open and then the match play? So
he did.
The guy knows how to win, so I think that could be, that's kind of my each way pick. So I'll a point each way. Shall we go on that?
Yeah, Mikko Ilonen, 33-1. It works the other way with me. I get an electric bill in the post, and then that's it. I don't even produce a podcast for weeks. I'm just just looking at this. So obviously, Masters invite, slightly different to that. 33-1. Mikko Ilonen this week. I've got him definitely down on my list. I've got a few names that I liked away from the selection there. Mikko Ilonen was one of them. Peter Uihlein, another one. He's 40-1, just maybe a little bit too short on Uihlein, but I do expect him to have a big year, and I think the venue suits. He can give it a good rip off the tee. Apparently, conditions are going to be benign this week.
Yeah, I read the wind drops each day, so it's almost nothing by the weekend.
It could be a non-factor, and maybe looking at links players not as prevalent this year as it has been in the past because of that. Brandon Grace, another one that I like, but 20-1 can give him a miss. Obviously, Dunhill links winner and won at Fancourt a couple of times, hasn't he, I think?
Yeah.
So he was one, and Thomas Peters, who's making his debut on at the course, which maybe is a negative, but he played so well last week. I thought 50-1 in the heat of battle all week, if he can put that to the back of his mind and he's not emotionally drained, he's going to have a big year, isn't he? I think
I've got a funny feeling with Thomas Peters that he might have a little dip this week just because last week was quite intense, and then he'll hopefully his price will go out and then we can hammer him on in Dubai, presuming he's playing Dubai. I'm just feeling that might be the rhythm of his kind of next few weeks. Just a hunch anyway.
Hopefully so. Yeah. Don't want to see Torbjørn Olesen win this week either. 25-1. He wasn't great last week, was he, Olesen?
Yeah, got going. Well, he started, I think, with three birds in the first four, but then he shot a par 72 from a morning start and everyone just sort of ran past him and he never got going.
Let's look at the second event then, the Humana Challenge on the PGA Tour. Patrick Reed is the 12-1 favourite here. Matt Kuchar, 16-1. Chris Kirk is 20s. Ryan Palmer, 20-1. Bill Haas, Harris English, Phil Mickelson, all 25s. Keegan Bradley is 28-1. Zach Johnson, also 28-1. And it's 33s and bigger the rest. This is the one event of the year, or one in particular, in which I think it's prudent to keep stakes low and prices high, in all honesty, because it was formerly known as the Bob Hope Classic and played over the five rounds, Dave, but you can have shot winners here, you can have people that have just a good week with the putter, because they are all three of the courses that they play on are all resort courses, par 72s. These players can eat these courses alive, can't they?
Yeah.
I find it difficult to go with someone right at the head of the betting in an event like this.
Yeah, I remember sort of Johnny Vegas winning it and thinking, yeah, in theory, I think he'd had some hot form at the back end on the Nationwide or web.com tour and just kind of blast it and and putted well.
Yeah.
And it kind of made some sense, but there might have been 20 in the field who fitted that bill, maybe, so...
Did DJ Trahan win here as well one year?
I think he did, yeah.
Yeah, and you just get... You get a lot of winners where you think, how have they won a PGA Tour event? A few of those, and it's not just the good putters that win here either. You can have a player playing well from tee to green who just suddenly it clicks with the putter.
Yeah, they're giving themselves that many chances that one week, yeah, they will start holding them, and this is the week. So yeah, it's a trappy one. I don't honestly remember winning on this event.
I find it a very difficult event.
I think Jesper Parnevik might have won on, but that was 1997 or something. But yeah, it's a tough one.
I've got three picks, but I'm keeping stakes a little bit lower this week.
Yeah, do you want to?
Yeah, I'll lead off. I'll go with Jason Kokrak as my opening selection here at 66-1 with Hills. He is a bomber, so I'll start off with him. I'm pretty sure an event like this suits his style, and attracted by the way he putted last week, in all honesty, at the Sony Open. Started his year with a tie for 17th there, ranking second in strokes gained putting. Combination of that touch on the greens with his power, I think he's good for a resort venue like this. Finished 8th here in 2013 as well, with rounds of 63 and 65 in there. He eats up the par 5s. So I'm going with Kokrak, a bomber at 66-1, half a point each way is my opening gambit here, Mr. Tindall.
I shall see you. I won't say that, actually, given his name. I will go with Brant Snedeker. He's kind of become a bit of a forgotten man. I think he was injured last season and sort of fell off the planet a bit. But you've got to remember, he won twice. He had two double winning seasons in 2012, 2013. Seemed to be a spell where that sort of popping putting stroke he got, he just couldn't miss, could he?
Yeah.
And he was just, you know, knocking it. He's one of these quick players, just turns, goes to the tee, knocks it down the fairway, hits it again, pops in the putt, and it just seems so, so easy. Now, he obviously got injured, and then he switched coach, but he switched coach to Butch Harmon, which seems to be kind of the magic touch at the minute. Jimmy Walker, sort of the latest to highlight Butch's kind of, you know, instant kind of effect that he has. Snedeker teamed up with him in July, and already we've seen that he's had a couple of top tens to end last year in Vegas and then in the HSBC in China. And there he actually said, I jotted down the quote, "I know I'm on the cusp of some really, really good stuff." Mm. So that was at the back end of last year. Now he comes into this year, you know, 40-1 shot. Say he played last week and come fit or something, I think you'd be maybe 20s,
yeah, I agree,
18s or something like that.
Yeah,
so I kind of think this might be a 1 week only price to get Snedeker, because he loves playing on this west coast. He even looks like kind of one of the beach boys or something. I know he's not from California, he's from Tennessee, isn't he, or something, but he would just seem a good fit. I mean, he's won at Pebble, hasn't he, and it just seems
aggressive as well, which I think, yeah, which is good on this golf course.
You can get on
these three golf courses.
Yeah, and you know, he's got some decent. He's got an eighth and a tenth in this event as well. So it's not like we're just sort of guessing that he might play well. He has played well here. So I think 40-1 for a player of his caliber. You look at some of those around him. Well, just for example,
Charlie Hoffman,
for example. Yeah, Ryan Moore. He's a better player than Ryan Moore. Ryan Moore's a good player, but. You know, is Harris English, should he be 40? Is Harris English, for all his promise?
25s.
Yeah. I just think he should be in that other bracket, but just, I think the price is still built on most of his 2014 form when there was an excuse for it. Mm. So, yeah, I really like him this week. Can I have a go at a point each way, quite an aggressive?
You can. An aggressive play on Brant Snedeker at 40-1. I'm going to go with Sean Stefani, or Stefani.
Yes, I nearly picked him myself.
Did you?
Yeah.
I think he's a
form horse, isn't he?
I think he, yeah, good price at 80-1 for someone who is in form. Eight straight rounds in the 60s with that second place finish at Mayakoba at the back end of last year, followed up with tied sixth last week at the Sony. Went close a couple of times last season as well. Fifth place in Houston and that heartbreaking playoff loss in the Quicken Loans National. He's on the verge of a breakthrough, and what I like is his ability to score well, even when he's not striking the ball perfectly. And his results recently have been with a cold putter as well. I just think if something sparks on the green for Stephanie, I think he can win. And his putting certainly is the Achilles heel, and you do need to take on a little bit of trust that he can get it going with a putter. But at 80s, I think he's going to make a breakthrough sooner rather than later, and willing to chance him at that price.
It's funny, when they're on resort courses, you kind of think, if he was playing with his mates, he's probably going to shoot like 59,
yeah,
isn't he, or something, and they'd say, oh, what a putter this guy is. But I don't know whether they freeze on certain one. But yeah, if he kind of gets into his head, this is, you know, comfort zone, this is a place where, you know, putts just roll in, he could do something special. And I think following people in form is no bad thing, is it, in this event? Because I think you've seen in the past, I mean, Patrick Reed, when he won last year, was coming off a win. The back end of, am I right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't put you off. It was close to mine just because he had those, is it 6-2 form figures?
So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good price for him.
Your second pick then?
Yeah, I can't. If I was playing one at the front, I'll just quickly mention him, I probably would go for Ryan Palmer because he's had three top sixes in the last 4 years, and his form is very good. It's been very good since the summer when he had a fifth in the PGA. Lots of top 10s in there, virtually eight of nine top 25s. The price isn't great, but I know he loves these courses, so if there's someone at the front end, it'd be him. But for bigger value, I'll go with Scott, another SS, Sean Stefani, Scott Stallings. He's a funny player, and he kind of vanishes for a lot of the time, but then he's won three times and he's only in his 20s still, so, you know, why not win again? I'm sure if you keep backing him at a big price, did it blindly, you'd win, wouldn't you? Particularly on this course, I mean, he was the 54-hole leader.
He should have won, shouldn't he, really?
He should have won. And again, kind of, if you look for patterns, often maybe then the following year after that, it might just come back to him a little bit and he'll not quite fire. So last year that played out when he was kind of midfield in the 58th or something. But now I think now he's a year on after that, I think, you know, the focus isn't, he's not the storyline, is he? Oh, Scott Stallings, he blew it last year. There's no pressure on him this time, so I think he can have another run at it on a course he clearly likes. He played some good stuff at the back end of last year. He went down to Australia, didn't he? He was fifth in the Aussie PGA. And he had a warm-up in the Hyundai, which again, to get into that, he had to win, which shows he's a winner. He started well. I mean, he was kind of midfield in that, but again, he's someone who can get hot with the putter. And, you know, a lot of these guys, you kind of say on any given week, well, his any given weeks seem to be more than other players' any given weeks because he can rise and, you know, get over the line. I mean, to win three times, that's impressive, isn't it? I mean, you kind of start run through in some of these and, you know, they just haven't got that in four times the length of his career. I think he won the True South Classic with minus 24, so he can win in a birdie fest.
He's a man for a birdie fest, isn't he, on a lot of occasions?
Yeah, and last year, slightly against that, he won at Torrey Pines, didn't he, which again on the West Coast. So, I just think he's a decent pick from that. It's some funny price at 66 in that mark. We've got Luke Donald there. I mean, I almost was tempted by that just because, you know, why is,
well,
know why
he's coming back, isn't he, Luke Donald, slowly but surely, with the reverting back to his old coach. I think that's done him the world of good.
It's just whether it's one of those ones where do you anticipate his return, or do you wait and watch it happen but then accept that he's 33s again, or
I understand.
So I could understand people just taking a flyer purely on price alone and nothing else.
So 66-1, Scott Stallings to go with Ryan Palmer and Brant Snedeker. For Dave, I'm going to finish off with a Japanese player. I'll go Ryo Ishikawa as my final selection at 125-1, and I'm attracted by the price here. And a lot of people think he's not going to make that breakthrough on the PGA Tour, but I'm not one of them. I think he will. Made the two starts here, missed the cut on debut, finished a respectable tied 25th, shot 17 under here last year, and I reckon he can build on that given his striking in the early part of the season. Three top 30s to start the season, the back end of last year. Ranks 18th in greens in regulation this season, 10th in strokes gained tee to green. Again, another player that I've gone for where the putting needs to improve, but I've always regarded Ishikawa is a really aggressive putter and a streaky putter. So if he can get it going, I thought three figures on Ishikawa was a bit of value. And you've got to remember, this is, he's only 23 years old and he's won 12 times. So he is a winner. He's a winner waiting to happen on the PGA Tour. So I'll go with Ishikawa as my final selection.
I think as well, he was kind of carrying the hopes of a nation, wasn't he? Single-handedly, basically. But then Matsuyama's come along and kind of
released that burden a little
bit. Released that burden, taking the focus away from him. So I think, you know, he had to do everything, didn't he? He was, you know, if you go to a golf event, there's just, you know, so many Japanese at the Open, you know, press and photographers, and it was all about him and everything was on him. And he kind of delivered the, I watched him give some press conferences where it was kind of like a sort of prime minister's sort of, it was just so serious, and he had to stand there for about, you know, 40 minutes just reeling off. It's like, oh, poor bloke, it's probably just too much, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
But now he's kind of a bit under the radar. I mean, he donated, didn't he, to the earthquake there as well. It's just like everything was like a sort of national figure that
he had to do it, basically.
Yeah, that had to carry everything with him. But so surely if he's released from some of that, yeah, we might see him pop up with a win in, at some point in time. So, yeah, why not? That's a good price, isn't it, 125? So.
Yeah, I think it's a fair price in this field, to be honest, for a guy of his immense talent. A few others caught my eye at big prices. Tony Finau.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Yeah.
I mentioned him on last week's podcast. He missed the cut in the Sony, but it's a quirky venue, isn't it, where experience is vital. This venue is just going to be able to give it a real rip off the tee. I remember Golf Channel at the back end of last season analysing his swing and suggesting that this guy was a future star, given the way he can contort himself to produce such power from tee to green. He's interesting, isn't he, this week at 66-1?
He sort of seems like this year's Johnny Vegas, doesn't he? Kind of that player who whacks it and puts well. Of the others around the sort of lower price, he was definitely one on my radar, but slightly went with Stallings just because of his win rate. But yeah, Finau wouldn't be at all surprised if he's right up there, because he did two or three top tens, didn't he, in the four series events?
Yeah, he did.
He was a bit, I think he missed a couple of cuts, but he's kind of hit or miss, so what, you know, why not go for the hit?
And he was shorter prices for those events as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, he kind of got nobbled a bit, didn't he, with his price, but he's, yeah, this is the time to get him, maybe.
And another one that I quite liked, similar sort of player maybe to Finau, but probably doesn't put as well, Robert Garrigus at 125-1, I thought was interesting as well. He's got a couple of top finishes here. At the Humana, so he was the only other one of interest. Were there any other names on your shortlist?
Well, I know you're going to turn your nose, everyone listening will turn their nose up, but just the fact that he was 33 last week and he's 66 this week, Charles Howell. I mean, Charles Howell, if you're going to back him each way, you do it early season on the West Coast.
Yes.
Now, there's no real particular reason he's double the price in this event. It's a similar field, isn't it, really? Might say it's a worse field, I don't know. But he's gone to 66 on the back of not really doing a lot wrong last week.
He played okay, didn't he?
Sort of all rounds in the 60s, didn't quite get going. But he kind of, you look at his past history and he does pop up, not just like seven, a top five somewhere on the West Coast year after year after year. So I thought they might put up 40s and I'd go, oh, maybe I'll leave it then. But 66 it's tempting, I think, but for someone who does just have a good each-way strike rate in these early season events.
Okay, let's recap the picks then, starting with the Qatar Masters. I've just got the one selection here, going with Rafa Cabrera Bay or point each way at 50-1. And Dave, you've got a couple?
Yeah, Charles Schwartzel. It's whether I go each way or
win only.
Or win only. I'm pretty confident. Let's go win only. Let's
okay.
2 points win only on Schwartzel. And Mikko Ilonen, a point each way at 33s.
And in the Humana Challenge this week, Patrick Reed heading the betting here. I'm going to go with three selections, all half a point each way. Jason Kokrak at 66-1. I keep calling him Sean Stefani. I presume he prefers Stefani to Stefani.
I'm thinking Gwen Stefani.
maybe, yeah. That's what. Go with Sean Stefani. That's probably better, 80-1. And Ryo Ishikawa, 125s.
Yeah, I will go with a point each way on Brant Snedeker at attractive 40 to 1, I think. And then just half a point on Scott Stallings at 66s.
Okay, half a point each way, Stallings at 66s. And you said at the top of the betting, Palmer was the one you would go for at 20s as well.
Yeah, I think so. But if someone came to me and said, right, put everything on Patrick Reed, I wouldn't particularly say, don't be stupid, because 12 to 1, I mean, he justifies it with his win rate, doesn't he?
It does, and he, you can just see him, he just relishes an event like this where he can just fire at every single flag. He's such an aggressive player, and he's a birdie machine, isn't he?
Yeah, totally. I mean, he said he, when he was interviewed at the back end of the Hyundai, he kind of, his first interview was like he'd lost. He said, I just didn't have a very good putting week, but obviously, you know, he got given the tournament. So slight worry on his putting, but then again, if he does put well, my goodness, what's he going to shoot? So yeah, but we'll leave him. But if anyone wants to go on him, you can't really argue against it, can you?
Superb. Thank you, Dave. Mike Grennan will be back next week, and we will at some point get all three of us in the studio for this. If you want to follow us all on Twitter, you can do. It's at D Kellner, at Dave Tindall Golf, and at M Grennan. Remember, you can download this via iTunes and get it on audioboom.com by typing in William Hill as well. And we'll be back next week. It's the Phoenix next week, isn't it?
Tiger.
I think Tiger's back. Toothless Tiger back next
it's
week.
It's Super Bowl next week, then.
It is the Super Bowl
yeah,
next
it's
week.
It's the same weekend, isn't
it's,
it?
So, that's going to be... I've mentioned this on Twitter. What a week that's going to be if you were in Phoenix, Arizona, because you've got both the Super Bowl and the Phoenix Open in the same city on the same weekend. Good luck finding space, basically. That'd just be incredible to go to both events. Thank you for listening to the Golf Podcast, folks. We will be back next week. You've got, remember, the Qatar Masters, worth mentioning, starts on Wednesday morning at 4:30 a.m. UK time. You've got until 4 p.m. on Thursday for the Humana Challenge. We'll speak again next week, folks. Hope you've enjoyed it. We'll be back very soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.